Let's open our Bibles this evening to John. I don't need to ask you to go. Just go on because there's nobody visiting here with us. So you know where we're starting. Amen. We get there. Let's say amen. And let's start reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let's turn over to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Now, we've shared in past lessons, we're supposed to let his praise continually be where? In your mouth. That's not only just in your mind and in your heart, that's also in your mouth. That means it needs to be heard. And not only those that may be near you, but you need to hear yourself praising the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you're at a workplace or you're somewhere, you can still praise the Lord quietly and under your breath. You could say, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And during the day. I think continually can be, I don't say misinterpreted, but that doesn't mean you're constantly praising the Lord. That means continually just means that you go through the day not forgetting to praise God. Not every second, you know what I'm saying? But you're not forgetting to praise God. You're not going through the day without taking the time to say, Father, thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice in it. And we're not going to focus, but I'm going to magnify you today. And I'm not going to focus on what I'm going through. And I'm going to praise you in the good times. And I'm going to praise you while I'm walking through some tough things. I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to bless you. Because you're bigger. You're bigger during the good times, and you're bigger during the bad times. And I'm going to bless you and praise you. And so that's what we're supposed to do, is it's to continually be in our mouth. And I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians. It says we're to give thanks in everything. Or is that 2 Corinthians? Thessalonians, that's what I thought. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So we've been spending some time, looking at when to praise the Lord. We looked at Psalm 113, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. There were other scriptures that we looked at. But what we're basically sharing is that praise is not optional. Praise is not based on how you feel. Praise is something that we are supposed to do, not based on how we feel. When you think about it, we were sharing some things from the last lesson on how praise is as an incense to God. It's a sweet-smelling savor, and we are to bring our praise which is as an offering unto God. We were reading from a particular scripture in Psalm 141. It says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So your praise, your prayer is as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So we can see here some parallels or the fulfillment of now God doesn't want bulls and goats and offerings, not goats, but bulls and calves and heifers and turtle doves. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want blood sacrifices. He wants what? Our praise. He wants our thanksgiving and our sacrifice. And just the same way that in the Old Testament, they brought in all types of offerings, the burnt offering and the thank offering and the fellowship offering and all these various offerings, they didn't do it whether they felt like it or not. They brought it in because they had to. It was the law. And what God is looking for is because you love him, because you want to praise him, because he's been so good to you, because he's saved you, because he's cleansed you up and he's filled you with the Holy Ghost. He's so good that I'm just going to bring my praise into you, Lord, because you're so good. Amen. See, in the Old Testament, they had to bring it in because it was the law. Well, now we have the lover of our soul living in us. We just love him. We love him. And so we're going to bring our praise to him continually. And we don't have to be forced to. And that's what God is looking for. He's just looking for our praise in the midst of everything that we do. Everything that we do. So we spent some time looking at that, and we're going to continue tonight. One of the things I highlighted again, there was a scripture that came up in my thinking as I was going over these notes again. And it got me to thinking about something when we're talking about praise and some statements that I made from past lessons. Thanks, we've always said this, that from past lessons, that words, things that come out of my heart, is my faith speaking. So when I release words, those words are my faith speaking. Whether or not it's positive or negative, whether it's full of life or death, words that come out of my spirit is my faith speaking. So take that a little bit and look at it from the standpoint where we're talking about praise and a life of praise. Faith must be released in words through my mouth. Faith has to be released through words in my mouth. We can have what we say. So when we give thanks to God in faith, it gives God the legal right to move in our life. So in other words, thanksgiving and praise from my heart is my faith speaking. And so we're going to continue tonight talking about magnifying the Lord. What are you magnifying? And what are you magnifying with your words? Are you talking about the problem? That's what's in your heart. If you're praising God and you're lifting him up, that's what's in your heart. You know why? Because you're spending your time continually thanking him and blessing him. Saying, God, you're so big. You're bigger than this sickness in my body. You're bigger than this debt I'm facing. And you're constantly and continually magnifying him. So when the squeeze gets pushed on you a little bit, what comes out? Not complaining, not lack, not, oh, I'm never going to make this. I can't get over this. It's too big. No, he's bigger. He's bigger because I've been meditating and magnifying him. And this is a lifestyle. This is something we're going to have to learn to do. It's just not going to come natural, but we've got to meditate on God and His promises and Him. How many through the years, and I know most of you have, but how many have heard Brother Hagin and others who heard him say it say, we need to be God inside minded? How many did we hear him say that? Well, when you're God inside minded, you're going to praise him. You're going to magnify him. You're going to talk about him and how big he is. And he's bigger. He's greater. Not the problem. And that's being God inside minded. And we have to, if you're not there, start in little degrees. Start in little things. But you got to start somewhere. You're going to have to start somewhere praising him and thanking him. You have to. So praise is not optional. It's something that we do. Amen. And something I mentioned from the last lesson, I'll reiterate it again. Faith always praises God, let me say it again. Faith always praises before God acts. Faith always praises before God acts. If you're in faith and you're convinced that God is bigger, you're going to praise. You're going to thank him. You're going to bless him. Faith always praises before God acts. You might say, okay, for somebody to say, we read this last week, Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Grumbled. No, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Faith always praises before God acts. Hallelujah. And the other statement was, every faith prayer ends in praise. Every faith prayer ends in praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for getting me out of debt. Thank you for the finances. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Whatever it is, faith always ends a faith prayer always ends in what? Praise. Hallelujah. You know, I'll just say this. What does faith say, James? Faith without works is dead. We all know it. We've heard it. And we say, yep, hallelujah, you're right. But doing it is going to get the results, not knowing it. Knowing it doesn't get the results. Doing it does. And so as we do what we're hearing, then we get the results. And so if we're not getting results in a certain area, maybe we need to bless the Lord more. Maybe we need to praise him more. Maybe we need not meditate on how big this situation is that we're facing. Because I know this much, and I'm learning. I'll just say it that way. Because we all learn. And we think we've arrived and then we're faced with something. You know what I'm saying? We all think, hey, I'm there. I got it. Bang. Something comes up and what's happening? We're yakking. Deck, 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 deck. How big this is. And we're talking about such and such. And we need to stop and say, wait a minute. Who am I praising? Am I praising the situation and magnifying that? Or am I magnifying God? And we need to, as the Bible says, examine ourselves. Because every one of us are going to find ourselves every day in a situation where we have to make a choice whether we're going to magnify the situation or magnify God. Every one of us. And I'm learning little by little to not magnify the situation, but magnify God. And make it a lifestyle. So that if something goes whack, I go, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And sometimes, I made a choice years ago. This may seem kind of cold, But it wasn't called for me. It was a choice. It was a decision, a hard choice at that time. Because when I grew up around the house, even though I didn't hear arguing and bickering, there was negative talk. Negative, 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 negative. And when I got born again and I saw what God did for me and I started learning the word of faith, I said goodbye. See ya. And I separated. I did. Because I did not want to be around it until I was strong enough. And sometimes if we're around people that talk negative, 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 negative all the time, you have to make a choice whether or not you're going to continue to stay around it or separate so that you can feed on and bless the Lord. Now, yes, the Bible does say we're in this world, but we're not of it. So we are going to be around certain situations, but I'm saying if we don't have to be. And a lot of times the don't have to be is family. A job, you have to be. Family, you don't have to be. You can make some choices. And the reason I'm saying that, someone came through the line recently and said that, you know, they made some choices where their family was concerned because it was negatively affecting and impacting not only them, but their children. And their children kept hearing blah, 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 negative. And they chose to not continue to be around them. And sometimes that's what has to happen. Because you're either going to, I'm going to say this, and I'm saying it's not cold, but I'm going to say this, that if you continue to hang around that, faith comes by hearing. And when the pressure is on, and the doctor looks in your face and says, there's no hope, you're going to die. And you go, praise God, God's bigger than that. My God is. Thank you for your diagnosis, but God is bigger. Amen. And now at that point, the question becomes, what have you been feeding on? And if all the people that you hang around with are, oh man, I don't know what you're going to do. That's trouble. If all you listen to is the doctor and people that have negative, you need to make some choices. Because God is bigger and we are to magnify the Lord. Magnify Him privately, publicly. And talk about how big He is. And talk about how great He is. God is bigger than cancer. God is bigger than diabetes. God is bigger than blindness. He's bigger. He's greater. He's bigger than any kind of sickness you have in your body. And He's bigger than any financial problem. He's bigger. He's bigger than any debt. He's bigger than any lack that you have. But if you think about it all the time and you meditate on it continually, as opposed to continually praising Him and magnifying Him, then you're going to think, in your mind's eye, there's no hope. Or I hope this thing gets fixed, but I'm not sure. So we need to spend our time blessing the Lord, magnifying Him. Now, let's pick up for a few moments tonight. And let's go back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 again. And let's focus on this again. And I want us to read it again. Verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Now, when we say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," if you look the word up, magnify, it just means to become great or important, to promote, make powerful, magnify, or to grow. Well, he's already great. Our praise can't make him any greater than he is. God is great. But our praise can magnify him in our own eyes and can cause our faith in God to grow by magnifying him. He's already great. But if your faith is weak because you've been magnifying the problem, you need to magnify God. Go over to Acts chapter 10 for a second. And just take a moment and look at this scripture. Acts chapter 10. The significance of our praise and our worship Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was what? A devout man." So he was a man that feared God. And it says, "And one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway." Sounds like continually, right? This was a devout man. And then what else does it say? "He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him," now look at this, we're talking about magnifying and blessing the Lord. It said, "Thy prayers and what? Thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." So when you come and you want to just praise the Lord and go, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I don't feel like praising the Lord today, I'm tired, and let me just take my envelope and just chuck it in the basket, it's the best I can do. No, this says here, his prayers and his alms were as a memorial that came up before God. So your praise, when it comes from your heart, and your offering, which is given from your heart, it's a memorial. It's like an incense that comes up before God. And I can tell you that when you do, whether it's a dollar or $1 million, when you give that to God, it's precious to him. And when we come, we ought to take it seriously, and we ought to say, okay, I'm coming to bring something from my heart. And I'm going to praise God from my heart. And it's an incense to God. It's a sweet-smelling savor to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It was to God in Cornelius' case. Hallelujah. When we were closing last, I'm going to read these two scriptures. As we were closing the lesson on Sunday, I read from Philippians 4:18. I said, and this was talking about the church in Macedonia. It says, "But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor." See, that offering was an odor to God. A sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when we bring things to God, whether it's our praise, our time, our offering, those things directed by God and given are a sweet odor, well-pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the New International Version says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. So our praise and our thanksgiving and our prayers and our giving, our alms, are from the heart. When they're given from the heart, they are a sweet odor to God and an incense and well-pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I was sharing earlier the scripture that came to mind as I was thinking about this was Proverbs 4. Let's turn over there just for a second so we can look at it. But that particular scripture came up in my thinking, and I guess I got to thinking about it because it was, well, first of all, it came up in my heart. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh." So I can tell you, as we continue to praise and lift up the name of Jesus and remind Him of all that He's done, that praise is health to all our flesh. And it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or the extremities, the boundaries, the directions for life." So if praise is coming out, that's the direction for our life. You give God access into your life to get you down the right path. You give Him access into your life to work. If we don't praise Him, if we're grumbling and complaining all the time about how big it is and what I don't have and so forth, you're praising your adversary. You're praising the problem. And it says here that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the directions for your life. As it says, the issues of your life. So we need to praise Him and bless Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to continue. Let's continue this evening again. Let's turn over to Psalm 33. Let's back up a little bit here. Psalm 33. And let's look at verse 1. Says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is what? Comely for the upright." You can look at other translations. The New International says, "It is fitting or suitable for the upright to praise Him." The Amplified says, "For praise is becoming and appropriate for those who are upright in heart." So praise is comely. It's fitting. It's appropriate for the upright. Well, what does that mean? Complaining isn't. It's not fitting for the upright. Complaining and talking about the problem is not fitting for the upright. Praise is comely. It's appropriate for the upright. I like the other translation. This is the Bible in Basic English. It says, "For praise is beautiful for the upright." Praise is beautiful for the upright. Praise, and I believe there's other scriptures that bear this out. Praise affects our countenance. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart. So if there's praise in your heart, there can't be a sad countenance. Can't be. Turn to Psalm, you're in 32, jump over 33, go over to Psalm 42. Look at verse 11, Psalm 42, verse 11. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." He affects our countenance. Our praise does. Hallelujah. Now let's back up to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. We read this in previous lessons. Psalm 35, starting in verse 26. "Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue," not somebody else's tongue, "my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise part of the day." All the day long. All the day long, we're to praise God. That means we're to talk of his righteousness. Nothing in here talk about how we feel. None of it. And it goes even beyond feeling. I shared with you when I had that lawsuit against me years ago, when I first started the ministry, in a car accident, I got served papers for over $250,000. It was $300,000+. Well, my first reaction was, "I'm soup. That's it. It's all over. I'm done." That was my first thought. And I began to you think, you meditate, you're like, okay, what am I going to do? What's going on? How am I going to fix this? I can't fix it. It's too big. That was a Goliath for me. And I really didn't know what to do. I just had started in the ministry after about a year, and I really thought that was the end of it. It was all over. And as I was sitting at my desk, I clearly heard, I wasn't even thinking about the problem, but I was doing my work And all of a sudden, I heard down here Malachi 3:10. Just came right up out of my spirit. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not bring you all the if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that I can hardly receive, that you can hardly receive. And then verse 11 said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, my God, I jumped up out of my seat. I said, I'm a tither. And God said he'd rebuke him. He'd rebuke the devil. He'd rebuke the devourer. And I latched onto that. I knew it was the Holy Ghost that spoke that to me. And I latched onto that scripture verse. Well, a whole year had gone by and you go through a process. And I can tell you that many, many, many times the thoughts came, it ain't going to work. Ain't going to work. It's not going to work. 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 You're going over. You're going to get sued. That's it. And every time those thoughts would come, I'm serious. As God as I stand before God, every time those thoughts came, I'd say, thank you, Father, for that scripture verse you gave it to me. I didn't think of it. You brought it to my thinking. You brought it up in my mind. I thank you. You said you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. I bring my tithes in, and I would, and I'd give way over my tithes. And so I told you, I got down to the week where they said, okay, it's going to the Supreme Court because of the amount of money. And I blessed the Lord and praised him quietly sometimes, sometimes loud. But I shout and I just said, okay, thank you. And the thoughts tried to grip me. Oh, God, it's going to the Supreme Court. That's it. I'm over. Thoughts kept coming. And I said, Father, I thank you. You said it. You promised. I didn't feel a thing. A matter of fact, my flesh didn't feel good about it. Because fear tries to grip you in your thinking and your flesh. Tries to grip you. What are you going to do? Now it's going to the Supreme Court. What are you going to do now? And then they said, well, we may call you if necessary. So Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by, Wednesday goes by, and now I'm into Thursday, and I'm thinking, now that's strange. Why didn't I get a call? Thursday, I get a letter in the mail. Thank you very much for your participation. This case has been settled. And I can tell you, it was nowhere near the money that was on that insurance policy. I had $50,000 coverage. They were suing for $300,000+. And I can tell you, if I hadn't continued to thank God and praise him and bless him, I would have been sued. And it would have been gone in a whole different direction. A whole different direction. So that was a Goliath. It was impossible in the natural for me to finagle anything, call somebody, twist something, do something. And it's no different than when a doctor gets up in your face and says, there's no hope. We can't do anything else. I'm sorry. Make your plans. You're going to die. Now, at that moment, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to choose whether you meditate on that and exalt that and receive those words, or you're going to magnify God. You're going to have to make it. Every one of us could be faced with that. And we have to make a choice at that moment whether we're going to magnify the problem or magnify God. And I'd like to think, because I have been praising God continually in my heart, that I would respond accordingly. Because the Lord spoke to me, I told you this in 2000, in the shower, and said, if you don't go to the doctor, you're going to die. That's what he said to me. So I've experienced a few things. And at that point, I didn't go, oh, no, God, no, 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 I got too much to do. I just stood in the shower and I went, that's interesting. And I didn't do anything for a couple of weeks, but I was at peace at the direction that God told me. He said, go see a doctor. Well, I did, and that was not, I didn't bear witness with the direction, but I ended up as you've heard me say, going to a nutritionist and got some nutritional counsel, which turned my body around in 2 to 3 weeks. And so God supernaturally gave me some direction. But you're going to have to make a choice every time we're faced with some challenge in life. We're going to have to decide at that moment, what am I going to do? Am I going to continue to feed and meditate on it and just go over it and rehearse it and so forth? Or am I going to bless the Lord? Am I going to praise God? Am I going to thank you when I get up in the morning and when I lay my hands down at night? And as it says, I lift my hands in the evening as an evening sacrifice. I'm going to lift my hands and thank God and praise Him. In 2008, I don't know what kind of symptom hit my body. I don't know. And I really don't care. I didn't care. I was sitting back up there by that sound booth, and a pressure hit the back of my head. And all of a sudden, I knew something wasn't good. It wasn't right. And I couldn't hardly see, and I was walking cockeyed and all of that, and I held the wall up there, and all I said was, praise God, I thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I didn't call 911, and there was peace in my spirit. And for 3 days, I'd come in here, my whole body was all squirreled up in the natural. And I just kept saying, thank you, Father. I bless you, praise you. Thank you that every organ, every tissue, every cell of my body is healed. And I thank you. And I just bless the Lord. Every time something would come, some thought, some, what about this? I'd say, praise God, I'm healed. Thank you. 3 days, the same way it came, bang, it left. Just left. Body responded. It had to. It had to respond. And so that's what I'm saying. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what I did. I'm telling you what I did in that situation when something said, bang, now what do I do? What am I going to do? And we have got to make a choice to magnify God. Magnify Him. And not just do it for a week, but what does it say? We are to praise Him and magnify Him continually. And as we do, as we continue to magnify Him continually, all of these issues are going to fall at our feet just like Goliath. If you don't give up, if you don't give in, and you don't say, well, I'm not seeing a change, I guess it's not working. You just lost. You lose. You've got to believe God is bigger than the problem. He's bigger than your sickness, bigger than your finances. He's bigger. He's bigger. And He's greater. Hallelujah. Did we go over to Psalm 40 yet? No? You're not keeping track. All right. Anybody awake out there? Psalm 40. Verse 16. I know we were in Psalm 35. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee, he's talking about the Lord here now, all those that seek the Lord, rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. Psalm 69. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Here's how we magnify God, right here. We magnify him with how? Thanksgiving. Amen. So we can see here that praise and thanksgiving and worship is a means or a way to magnify God. That's how we magnify him. Amen. I thought about this also as I was just coming up, that every time, I just wrote this down, every time we receive the offering here and thank God for the $80,000 per week, we are magnifying God in his ability and not what we see. We're magnifying God. We're saying, thank you, Father, for bringing it in. We thank you for the $80,000 worth. We're magnifying him with our thanksgiving and our praise, and we're not talking about what we have or don't have. We're just magnifying him, and he's bringing it in. Amen. And this is what I was saying before. When individuals talk about their problem, sometimes with you, they want you to agree with the problem. And so they want you to get in agreement and do what? Magnify it. And we need to, at some point, you know, after a little bit, you just say, you know what? Let's magnify God. Let's talk about how big he is, and let's unhook from talking about how big your problem is. That usually sputters people out after a while, or they just leave because they really want to just talk. They want a cheering squad. They want you to cheer along with them about how big their problem is, and it ain't working. It's not going anywhere. And that's not to say that you're not going through it. That's not to say that it doesn't exist. But God is bigger. God's bigger. He's greater. And he can walk you through. He can bring the money. You know, so often, and I keep sharing this about, it's not what you know, it's what you do. It's what you do with what you heard. And folks will call and they'll want to talk to the pastor, and what they want to do is, first thing, I'm listening, okay, what are you going to magnify? And they want to magnify the problem. They want to talk about it, and that's okay. I'll listen and see what the Holy Ghost is saying, but at some point, we're going to unhook and we're going to talk about and magnify God. We're going to magnify him. We're going to talk about how big he is and how great he is and what he's done in our lives. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Because if we just stick in that rut and don't get out, We're not going anywhere. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so we need to change the direction with our words. And so that's one of the things, because fear focuses on the need. Fear focuses on the lack. Fear focuses on the disease. Unbelief focuses on the problem. Faith focuses on God. Faith magnifies God. And fear focuses on the problem. Faith focuses on God and how big he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's, as we close, let's read this scripture one more time. Psalm 34. Let's read it again. And before we read it, just keep this in mind where David was concerned. Just something to keep in mind. When Goliath stepped out onto the field and David referred to him, he never referred to him how big he was. He never said, oh boy, he's a big dude. He's 10 feet and I'm only 5 feet. He never talked about or mentioned how big he was and how bad he was. He talked about how big his God was. And all he said was, you uncircumcised Philistine. He talked about his God. He never spoke about that Philistine and how big he was. And so whatever that Goliath is in your life, don't give it place. Don't talk about how big and impossible the problem is. Talk about how big your God is. Praise magnifies God to you. Let's read Psalm 34 again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his holy name. Amen. You're all too quiet tonight. No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. God is bigger. And he's greater. And he's done great things in my life. He's delivered me from death. He's delivered me from impossible situations. He's delivered me from sickness. He's delivered me. He's delivered me. He's delivered me from sin. And I'll tell you, I'm going to praise him and bless him and thank him every second of the day. Because if I didn't, I'd be down the tubes. Gone without a job. Gone lack. I'll tell you, God is bigger. He's greater. And every time thoughts come to me about you're never going to have this and you never, I go, so, yep, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You rejoice in the prosperity of your saints, your children. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Sometimes folks have this thinking, why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this? You know, sometimes we grumble and complain. Why am I going through this? Why do I have to go through this? I don't like this. Well, you're praising the problem. You're not talking about how big your God is and how great he is. David could have said, man, why do I have to fight a 10-foot guy? No. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to take his head off. And ran toward him and took him out. He didn't go, oh God, what am I going to do now? He talked about how big his God was. And God is looking for a people in these end times that are not going to get rattled by circumstances, but they're going to praise him and bless him and thank him. Hallelujah. Because if we don't learn to do this in the little things of life, when the big things come rolling across your path, chances are what you did in the small things are going to be exactly what you do in the big things. And the big things are going to roll you over. You'll lose. Now, you go to heaven. But again, remember what we said in our past lessons? Your faith victories can affect generations to come. Your faith victories can affect other people. And I want my faith victories to be voiced abroad, and I know you do too. But they can affect other people and encourage others. Yes, the word is life to us, and it's first place. But your victories, if you get taken out because you give up, you could have affected generations of people after you because of your life. And I'm not willing to do that. Because I got a big God. I've got a great God. And I'm not going to give in or knuckle in to what comes. We're going to magnify the Lord. We're going to magnify Him. Talk about how great He is and the great things He's doing in our lives and the great things He's doing in this church. You know, it's not just the world, the church. We're talking about how bad it is. And the economy and the government and all of this. Hey, my God is bigger than this government. My God's bigger than any health plan that's dictated to me. I'm walking in health and divine health. I don't need their divine their health care plan. And it may get to the place that you may have to live seeking God. You know, I thought about this recently. I know Pastor Clinton used to share this. This government, and I know Pastor Clinton used to share this also, this government could change and turn against Christianity. We're not believing for that. We're praying. This is a God-ordained country. But there's no guarantee other than our prayers and God moving on the heart of this president that we have. But they could turn against Christianity in a blink. Not from the standpoint of preaching the gospel, but they could just tomorrow and say, you know what, we need more money. And all the benefits that you've enjoyed as a Christian in this country are gone. What are you going to do then? Are you going to continue to magnify the Lord? Are you going to continue to bless Him and thank Him for everything He's done and is to you? Or are you going to complain and grumble and not bring your offering? Because if you're bringing your offering to God because of what you're getting tax-wise at the end of the year, your motive's wrong. Your motive's wrong. And you need to examine and say, I'm bringing this because God is good. He's good. And He's deserving of my praise and my alms. He's deserving of it. And we have to make those choices ahead of time so that if it comes, we've already settled it in our hearts. We've already settled it that God gets mine regardless. Regardless. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's close this evening. Anybody have any questions or thoughts? It's quiet in here. Way too quiet. Amen. Praise God. I thank the Lord and bless His name. Amen.